Welcome back, everybody, and welcome in on Debate Tuesday, or at least at the time of this recording, it is Debate Tuesday. You guys will be listening to this the next day or possibly even later. It is officially I'm going to assume the only debate we're going to see between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. The election is officially 2 months out. It is ridiculous. I remember recording episodes and like, oh, we're 6 months out. We're 90 days out. Now we're 2 months out. We're at the beginning of September, basically into fall at this point. And I don't know if anybody's actually, if you guys listening to this, I should say, are going to take the time to, you know, check out the debate, listen to what's going on. Typically, I would really advocate for this. I think that being more involved and more engaged in our political spectrum and our electoral process is a better thing to contribute to solving a lot of the issues that we all face, right? I think elected leadership are a big part of the problems that many of us face in day-to-day life. However, I think we'll all agree that when we think about, excuse me, what's going on with this this particular debate tonight, where they've had to work for months just to get this down to this point, and I don't know, there's already been comments made like, this isn't a fair debate for Kamala Harris, and for Kamala Harris, she is simply going by, or they both are going by the rules and the guidelines and everything, the structure, the format, all that good stuff, right? That President Joe Biden agreed to for the first debate. And if you guys didn't watch that, I'm sure you probably caught clips and saw, you know, it was a complete dumpster fire. It's my belief that that's why he was basically ousted. I don't think there was any like coercion or things like that. I personally believe he probably got a lot of pressure from the party and things to basically step back and say, hey, listen, you're obviously struggling. You had a good run. I mean, he didn't, but that's probably what they told him. And, you know, now we're gonna put somebody else there, which the upsetting part, as somebody who's a part of this country and our democratic system is, you know, I will be upfront and say I did not vote for Kamala Harris or Joe Biden in the primary. But why this is a dangerous thing is the Democratic Party basically found a loophole and said, oh, everyone wants, you know, Biden's the guy. Nobody likes Harris. She doesn't come across very well read, and she comes across as a con artist. She was one of the first two, I believe, people to drop out of the presidential race back in 2019. And, you know, oh, we're just going to install this person. There's just no thought of what the American people want. Regardless of which side you fall on things, it's very important that we maintain that. We talk about maintaining liberty and maintaining rights and things like of that nature on this podcast all the time. And regardless of your personal feelings or views of those on the opposite side of the aisle from you, it's important that we maintain the integrity of that system. So, you know, at any rate, it should be interesting. I'm sure we're going to get sound bites. I'm sure we're going to get clips. This should be raw and uncut and unfiltered. It's supposed to be live TV. I believe ABC is the network that has it. If any of you guys are watching it and checking it out, I mean, please feel free to reach out. I don't know. I'm sure I'll probably catch some highlights, and we'll all see the memes and the video clips and the TikToks and everything. I don't know. It should be a real calamity, that's for sure. But I got a couple things that I'm going to talk about this week. No guest. These are getting to be more and more rare, these episodes where I sit down and just share my feelings. But you know what? Gosh darn it. We're a week. That's a lie. At the time of hearing this, we're like 3 days out from the Human Trafficking Awareness Range Day event. We attended it last year. We talked all about it. And just in a greater effort to maintain my own sanity, I didn't schedule a guest for this week. Next week, we'll probably do a release kind of just talking about, you know, sitting down talking about the classes that we all took. And there's a pretty wide variety between handgun and precision carbine, CQB and breaching and all kinds of good stuff taught by a few people who've been on this podcast before. Joe Fasanella is going to be teaching the counter-terror carbine course, which everybody in our group, minus myself, is taking on Sunday morning. I'll be taking the two-man CQB class with Jared Arsenault from Orion Training Group. Basically the entire weekend that class fills all 12 hours, you know, 8 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday. Should be a really, really good time, you guys. But With that said, before we get into things, this is a sponsored podcast, so we need to do our ad space, you guys. And first, we want to say thank you to Custom Night Vision. You guys, their website is customnightvision.com, obviously. And they're a tremendous team of dudes doing some outstanding work to bring great night vision products and services to all of you. That's right, services as well. So while everybody likes to say you need to save up your pennies to get a PVS 14 first, and then you need to save up even more and sell that PVS 14 and get into some dual tubes, there are services you can take advantage of to help you make the jump from single tube to dual tube. If you have a good PVS 14 or even a good tonneau housing from Nocturne Industries, right? And you want to move into a dual tube setup. So either out of a PVS 14 into some RNVGs or maybe the MH1 from Lloyd Innovations or the Manticore from Nocturne, right? Hey, you can send your PVS 14 into Custom and pay to have them get a tube that matches that and hook you up with a new housing. It's great. You don't have to go through the haggle of selling your tube that you know is good and you want to be matched up and going through the process of potentially learning what all the specs and numbers and stats and everything that go with the tubes are. However, if you are somebody out there and you are looking to get into your first night vision setup, and guys, you really should. It is incredible. Every time I share my night vision with a friend, the oohs and the ahs are like, honestly, it's the coolest part of it. And I've never heard anybody regret making the night vision purchase. Again, the website is customnightvision.com. They're fully stocked with single tube PVS 14 units in both, you know, green phosphor, white phosphor. They have bino housings and options there, DTNVSs, RNVGs, the whole suite from AB Night Vision, the Low Light Innovations MH1, like I mentioned earlier, and a bunch more. They also have a chat function, really neat, that's built into the website, you guys. So if you need to reach out and talk to a team member there because you honestly have no idea what signal-to-noise ratio is or FOM, you know, figure of merit, what any of it means, what's important and what's not, and what you should really look for, you can reach out to them. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Also want to say a very big thank you to our friends at 100 Concepts, everybody. 100concepts.com is the website, and they are, honestly, if you are new to this space, new to this realm, they're one of the companies I would recommend everybody check out and spend a little bit of money with, and here is the reason why. They make some very, very affordable solutions to some very, very common problems. So if you're just getting out for the first couple times, and you're getting out in the woods, and you got your ruck on and everything, stop by their website, 100concepts.com, and pick up a pack scrim for yourself. It goes a long way to address camouflage and help break up some of those colors, especially if you didn't know what you were doing and you bought a black or blue backpack. Those colors don't really appear in nature. Additionally, you got your very first rifle, you got your optic on there, and you listen to good old Lucas, and you got your white light. Good job. Now stop by 100concepts.com and pick up a light cap, because reflection does not occur in nature, and it's a big, big issue. The guys at 100 take that very, very seriously. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Light caps, scope caps, scrim, and a whole lot more. Finally, let's say thank you to RMA Armor, you guys. RMADefense.com is the website. They set us up with a discount code for all of you, PreparedMindset5. It's going to save you 5% off your order when you go to pick up some armor plates. RMA is they're an American company making a tremendous armor solution for folks like you and me. Regular civilians, which is what we're going to be getting into shortly here today, regular civilians that want armor, that think that they need armor because, dang it, it's America and why not? RMADefense.com is the website, and you can head over there. They have sales all the time on their level 4 plates, so if you think you need maximum protection and you're not worried about weight, because I'll be honest with you guys, there are no lightweight level 4 plates, they have great sales, 25-30% all the time, or you can use, again, our discount code PreparedMindset5 to go pick up their super lightweight level 3A+ multi-curve plates, or level 3, level 3+, maybe some soft armor, because that's what you need. Again, it's RMADefense.com, great American company making some awesome armor that isn't going to kill your entire bank account, and then your wife won't kill you, which is advised. So what we're going to talk about this week, you guys, this is a topic that I'm sure we've all had our own experiences with. It may upset some folks. I think the further I get into all of this, the longer I kind of have these discussions and interact with people, you know, you meet some really, really tremendously passionate and articulate folks, and then you meet, I will be honest, you meet a hell of a lot more a-holes. People that, because of a certain line on a resume or a patch on a sleeve, they want to act as though that you are a second-tier citizen, you know, quite literally, because you didn't serve in military or in law enforcement. You're not effective. You're not capable. You will always be second to them. So what we're going to talk about this week is being an effective civilian. Because, guys, honestly, look at the numbers. There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them. Those folks, and again, and this isn't, maybe not again, but this is not to take a gigantic dump on those that serve. I have a tremendous amount of respect. I've had so many guests that are armed service members, have been armed service members, are law enforcement, or have been. But what I want to address and what I want to talk about is this. This idea, right? This perception, if you are a civilian, you are not to be taken seriously. If you are a civilian, you are not to be listened to. And that is the end of the story. And on the flip side of that coin, if you have prior military service, you automatically trump whatever a civilian says, does, or thinks. And this developed slowly, not even that slowly, but slowly over time as the internet era has kind of blown up. We just see more and more of this because people have an enhanced ability to talk to each other. And you can instantly tell who the people you can more than likely ignore are because they like to throw 11B at the end of their Instagram name because that's what they did in the military is their MOS. And that makes them better than you. Not quite. So... again, there are a lot of great folks that are out there sharing knowledge. They're former Marines like Blake Flannery. No, his last name is not Water. Blake Flannery of Maneuver Training Solutions. He was on a couple of weeks back. He was on recently, right? Or JT, who's former current law enforcement, really. Great people, willing to share. They don't have that attitude or that perception at all, but there are certainly those people out here that do. They run podcasts, they run Instagram channels, they run YouTube channels, they have, you know, all kinds of influence and opinion out there. And that's, to be clear, that's their right as an American. I'm not disagreeing with their right to say those things. I just think that it's very important that since some of them are so loud about calling out why you should ignore civilians, it's important to point out that you maybe in some instances should be looking to them for more information. Before I get into it, I'm going to temper all of that, and I'm going to qualify it and say, if you want to be taken seriously as somebody in this space, in this community who is a civilian, you don't have any prior service, maybe you haven't taken a shitload of classes, and that's not a qualifier either, to be clear. We'll get into that also. You need to do your research. You need to know your shit. And furthermore, you need to be able to articulate that if you want to be taken seriously. That's the beginning of the conversation, really. If you want to be taken seriously, the same way that you would look at some other people out there in this community that are instructors or people that put out content, quote unquote, teaching people how to do it the right way, which I hate that phrase. There is not one single thing that I have ever come across in my training, in my research, in my interactions with folks on this podcast. There's not one single thing that has one solution and only one correct way to do it. Now, are there better ways to do some things? Yes, there obviously are. And you see that because a lot of people subscribe to that very specific and more standard, more common methodology. But that is not to say it is the only right way. You just hear that a lot from people who learn things one way and they only know that one way to express it. So it's kind of a number of issues rolled into one. Chief among them is that a lot of people in this space, because they see what influencers have attained with getting free stuff and having nice kit and a following and having a herd of morons that follow them around on the internet that agree with literally everything that they ever have to say, right? People want that for themselves. And I can't fault them for that. But here's the thing. There is a right way and there's a wrong way to get to that. And being somebody like, you know, an Army reservist, for example, again, it's not a shot at the reserves or National Guard or Marine reserves, any of that stuff. But just for this example, somebody who was in the Army reserves and learned a very specific way to shoot with iron sights or to do room clearing. Room clearing is fun as hell to have this conversation around because the military has such a watered down version of it, Battle Drill 6, that teaches you to just dump guys into a room versus, you know, common doctrine, not even doctrine, but common theories and common principle-based curriculum from training companies across the country, like Orion Training Group, who I've been through a couple of their classes, companies like Defender Series Training out in Virginia. Troy has been on a couple times, episode 219 with Troy Van Oostendorp. Actually, it was a great discussion around CQB, so shameless plug. If you guys want to go back and check that one out, I highly recommend it. Core Vision, which is out in Washington, and there's more. There are more companies. I'm just rattling off a few where you can go to learn CQB, and a lot of those companies, they offer additional things. They offer shooting curriculum. They offer training of a wide variety because they understand the importance of everything, not just one specific skill set. Now, there's anything wrong, right, with being a company that offers specific curriculum, but just to clarify, because people on the internet really, really like to eat your lunch when you make a generalized statement and don't call yourself out after it for clarity. But I digress. So, as somebody who went through, you're an Army reservist, okay? And there are reservists, I know at least two off the top of my head I could think. I'm not gonna throw names out there, but I know of at least two that I've had terrible experiences with in the regard of training and their opinions and thoughts on how things have to be done because it's the right fucking way because this is what they did with their reserve units, so that's the only right way. And if they're showing up to your training, then you have to change what you're doing to fit what excuse me, Jesus. You have to change what you're doing to fit what they know because they know how to make that work. They don't want to do what you are doing because it's not what they know. Now, again, not to take any digs, both ways could be right. What I'm saying, though, is that I've had this happen to me. I've had people look me in the eye and go, well, I don't know beyond what class what your experience is. And to me, that's a bullshit question. That is a bullshit question. My question back was, well, what exactly did I say that was wrong? And the response I got was, well, I mean, technically nothing, but it's just not how I would do it. That's literally the answer. You just admitted that you're only getting upset and only calling out the discrepancy or an error in what we were training, which in this instance, it was opposed doorway clearing in CQB practice out at Battlefield CQB here in Westland, Michigan. Not paid for, not sponsored, but just a tremendous couple guys that run a great facility worth checking out. And because we decided to clear things a certain way that was not in the military doctrine which this individual was taught, I was instantly wrong. Because I'm just a civilian, right? Granted, my classroom time in classes is not a lot, but it could be more than that individual's, and my amount of research and actual practice and actual training could be vastly superior to that of the amount, and not superior in quality necessarily. I'm saying I could have just in raw time spent more time practicing these kinds of things than that person and learned from different sources. The beautiful part in this community is that you can go to multiple sources. You can, as a civilian, this is one of our greatest strengths, you can go to multiple sources. You can go to a Marine, a recon Marine, you can go to a SEAL, you can go to a 25-year law enforcement veteran, and you can go to a Ranger, and you can learn four unique, different ways to address the same skill set, okay? And at the end of the day, you can take a piece from each one of them. Doesn't have to be an equal piece from each one of them, but just a piece from each one of those instructors or those individuals with those unique skill sets and background, and you can amalgamate that into what you like and what works for you. And then you and your boys, you and your crew, you and your ensemble, if you will, you guys can go hang out and go train and do it the way that you like because you're not restricted by policies and procedures and requirements that in a lot of instances in 2024, unfortunately, they're not there to make you a more effective fighter. I mean, they are if you're in special operations. So if you're, you know, tier one or tier two units, then yeah, probably that's why the decisions are made. But let's be real. And you know this, if you're listening to this right now and you're either, you know, former National Guard, current active duty National Guard, reservist, or basic infantry, right? You know, a lot of the training shit you do is not built to make you more effective. It is built for liability. And that is tenfold for law enforcement. it's all about liability. That's why they don't, you know, armories don't have ammo stored with weapons. Why you see people training in plate carriers with no plates. It's why, you know, law enforcement agencies are hesitant to allow officers to put optics and red dots on their duty pistols because, oh, well, what if it fails? What if the battery dies? What if, what if, what if? To say nothing, right, obviously, of the fact that there's documented evidence that factory Glock sights suck balls and they also come off, especially if they're, you know, an older pistol, but not the point, obviously, right? But again, we as civilians, we're not restricted to play in that kiddie pool with those training wheels of, you know, no armor and no, you know, no certain optics and things. We are limited only by our own capability, our imagination, and honestly, somewhat unfortunately, by our own budget. It's one of the things that, as a civilian now, and honestly, to some degree, maybe military and law enforcement, if you're able to seek out your own additional training, is you can pay for it and you can go learn from companies that adopt that similar multifaceted approach to how exactly you want to learn something. And I've said this before as well. I don't want to keep necessarily going back to Orion Training Group, but that's who I've learned from. When taking their class or classes, they specifically call out, hey, we're talking about taking a hallway and clearing a structure this way. This is not the only way, and it's not the best way. It's just, we're not saying it's the best way. We're saying it's our way. If you learn from Blake at Maneuver Training Solutions, who works with Orion, right? He was a recon Marine. They do it this way because this works for their specific situations and context, right? Hey, if you listen, if you take a class from this Navy SEAL, they were on boats all the time, right? So they do things differently for these reasons. And you have those multiple perspectives. And from there, because they are not specifically a instructor for a given agency, you know, one agency or one branch of military, they can then build and define their curriculum from multiple points of view and multiple perspectives, and there's a lot of value in that. That concept right there that I was just able to articulate and demonstrate is what makes, or can make, I should say, I'll be very clear here, it can make civilians very, very, very effective. It is our responsibility, though, because we can sit here and talk about all the potential that we have. We can talk about that all day long. When it comes down to it, it is an absolute responsibility as an armed civilian, as somebody who is concerned with their own preparedness, with their own resilience and effectiveness and their own capability both. And when I say capabilities, I do really believe that needs to be within your own self as well as within a team or a unit. Because if something were to happen, and we've seen those somethings happen a couple years ago, right? Everybody had questions. Everybody was caught off guard. Like, hey, people are out in the streets burning shit down and doing all kinds of crazy crap that's making me real nervous because I have a family, right? Most of us, if that shit got really real, you're not making it out of that on your own, or at least not without help from somebody. And that could be just help from your spouse who's helping administratively do some things or whatever, or help pack things up for the car to get you the hell out of there or whatever, or contributing to shared bills, right? 'Cause two incomes in your home possibly, right? Or maybe you and your buddies have a strategy. You have a plan on a fallback point. Hey, stuff's getting really weird. We have homeowners insurance. I'm not worried about the house. Let's pack the hell up and get the fuck out of town until things cool down. You know, whatever the case may be, that takes multiple people. It takes understanding of communication plans, coordinated efforts. If you had to do room clearing or building clearing or something, being able to work together, or potentially being able to work with people you don't normally work with, but having an understanding of fundamental principles of small unit movement, of communications and communication etiquette, right? So how to improvise an antenna, how to communicate verbally verbally and non-verbally, I should say, via shorthand and things. That's tremendously valuable information. And if you want to be effective as a prepared civilian, the true modern Minuteman is not just somebody who knows how to run a rifle. It's somebody who can be completely capable and effective. Because remember, when we're talking about Minutemen in the sense of the Revolutionary War, the modern Minuteman thing sounds sexy, right? Because that was part of the revolution that birthed our country, you know, that formed our nation. However, that was back with, you know, powder horns and muskets, okay? Now we've got drones, we got comms, we have night vision, IR devices, we have white light discipline. I mean, the flashlight wasn't even invented then, right? It's a very different game. But if you're talking about wanting to accept that same level of responsibility, and I think you should, I think that's cool, right? If you're willing to take that step, good on you, right? You have to own that. And I think even further, if you want to be seen as a credible, reliable source, both in your training group, maybe it's just you and like five friends or something, but also outwardly, right? You want to be seen as somebody who can hold and participate in intelligent and deep conversation on relevant issues within the tactical community. So, you know, it could be on being effective under night vision. It could be on radios and communications, overlanding. That's something that gets overlooked, no pun intended, right? All the time, you know, it could be CQB, it could be camouflage, long distance shooting, right? You have to be well read on those things. You can have your opinions, you can have your, you know, steadfast beliefs that you will die on that hill for. Like, I'm totally with that. I don't think everybody should always agree on everything, for the most part, anyway. But you, if you want to be taken seriously, you've got to put that time in. And here's the thing. No matter what anybody says, nobody who is on active duty military is spending 100% of their time out in the field, training, running the shoot house, and hitting the range. It's just not happening. Even if you are, you know, some kind of infantry designation, a lot more of your time is spent doing physical training and other bullshit. And you don't believe me, we can bring Josh on, we can bring John on. Both those guys, very, very good friends of mine and parts of this effort, right? A prepared mindset. Guys who have served and continue to serve in the National Guard and will personally attest to, like, no, there's not a lot of actual range training. And if you're a National Guard individual or a reservist, then it's even less because you're only really training like one weekend a month, which, let's be real, folks, me and my friends train one weekend a month. So, where, you know, from a gross measurement of time spent, is there really an advantage there? I mean, possibly if you're getting a full 8 hours in at the guard versus maybe four or five with your friends, like, but that's probably not an honest one-to-one either, if we're having a real conversation here. But you have to own it. You want to be seen as an expert or as somebody who is squared away. It's a lot of work and it's a moving target. It doesn't just, oh yeah, I took two, maybe three CQB classes. I took a long distance shooting course. I took a concealed carry class. And I'm good to go now, man. My bases are covered. I'm good with my fundamentals. I'll hook up with a buddy that knows medical and a friend that knows some radio stuff and I'll be good to go. Like, okay, you might be good to go for a year, maybe two. It's a moving target. These concepts, these ideas, these skills, the skills depreciate and they depreciate quickly. And a lot of the data that is used to form these tactics and these skills and these ideas that a lot of us are trying to learn and hone and develop and perfect, that shit changes, man. I mean, just look, look at how we used to shoot, right? Look how we used to view shooting with carry handles and iron sights and things like that, and the kind of armor we used to all wear and the helmets and how we used to adopt or you know, see night vision as a non-essential piece of equipment. Thermal wasn't even a dream. Now, let's go ahead. We fast forward. We're in 2024. Everybody's running lightweight armor and plates in very, very customizable and capable plate carriers. Everybody is running camouflage and effective camouflage, not just like everybody raided their surplus store for M81, right? And helmets are, I mean, the technology on helmets from comfort and protection and features, things like, you know, cable routing and stronger mounting solutions, it's never been better than it is today. And this stuff is constantly moving, which means as our gear and our access to data and education is constantly evolving and growing, we too must then also constantly move and evolve with it. So to that point, as we're talking about this stuff, as we're trying to learn, one of the things that I will share with you all, I'll be 100% confident and I don't have any qualms about admitting any of this out in the open. I was on a phone call with a friend last night who runs a training company and told him straight up, I very, very infrequently will I come out and make a disparaging remark or publicly question what somebody is doing or teaching, especially if that individual is former military, has been teaching a very long time, former law enforcement, whatever. Okay. Why? Because we've been, I don't want to say conditioned, like I don't want to get psychological with it and analyze this whole thing, but I guess we're kind of already there, if I'm being real. We've been conditioned that we are not to question what's being taught to us ever. We're just not. Unless you're in a class and paying to go through that curriculum and learn that, we're not typically to, beyond just like a, hey, why do you do it this way? We are not to question what people teach. If somebody has, oh, I have 7 years on a SWAT team, so I'm qualified to teach CQB. Yeah, but weren't you the dog handler on that team? I thought I saw photos of that on your Instagram, and then everyone lights you the F up because you questioned their favorite instructor. Okay. this guy was in the unit. He was a Delta guy for, you know, 5+ years or 10+ years, whatever it was, in addition to his other military service. Okay. You can't question what they say because them and their knowledge instantly overrule and trump anything you have to say. Well, no, that should not be the case. It really shouldn't. Now, however, I will say, if you're going to ask these questions, and you totally should, you should totally feel comfortable asking questions of people that present themselves as subject matter experts and as knowledge centers in their respective field. However, the caveats I will say to that is you need to present yourself in a professional and respectful manner. If you want to be treated respectfully, you better present yourself respectfully. That's something that, like, everybody, like, stop and write that shit down. Because there is nothing that bothers me more in my professional life. And again, I work in finance, for God's sake, all right? But there is nothing that bothers me more in this world and in my professional life, whether that was as an educator teaching high school students or as a professional in the finance industry, is that people who present themselves as assholes and then instantly flip to victim when you treat them like the asshole they behaved as. So that shit carries over to the internet. You guys have all seen it. Comment sections, you know, flame posts, shit blows up all the time. And people want to sit there and say, oh, so-and-so is a giant asshole because of how he answered me. Like, well, I would say that the problem was more with how you asked the fucking question. But all right, sure, let's go with what you said because whatever, this is what it turned into. And then we actually degenerate from the point of the question. We never have the real discussion. There is no material growth realized for either side in the argument or discussion. And we actually just sow seeds of division further and further in a community that already has a whole lot of that going on. We don't need that shit. But further, you're going to ask the questions. You need to be able to articulate. If it's an argument, you're not just asking a clarifying question like, hey, why do you, you know, wag your muzzle like that versus over your shoulder or something. Not, if you're asking a question, go, hey, why did you not clear that corner in CQB? Or, hey, why do you guys not use this formation for patrolling? Or why do you, whatever. If you are asking a critical question, which what I would say in this context, a critical question would be is, what you're doing is wrong. Why are you not doing it this way? And I think that's fair. I do. I think that there's an awful lot of people out there who are running quote-unquote training companies as quote-unquote experts who don't really understand their curriculum completely. And that's a skill set. Understanding your curriculum and being a good educator, being a strong communicator, those are skill sets. And it's a mark that we miss in the 2A space constantly. And do you think I'm lying? I mean, I don't know. You guys aren't sitting here in front of me, and a lot of you guys could be agreeing with me. But for the sake of this discussion, for the sake of argument, spend some time on YouTube. Like, go search like firearms training videos on YouTube or something, and then scroll through like the first 20. Go find the name of a channel of a guy that you don't know and don't recognize, and then watch some of their stuff, and then do it again, find another one. name of somebody you don't recognize. It's not your, like, your grand thumbs, not like the big name guys or whatever that people love. Go find the smaller people, because there's a reason why a lot of the smaller influences have stayed small. Part of it is a budgetary constraint, yes. Part of it may be poor production quality, but I will say a large part of it, at least for people that present themselves as subject matter experts and professionals within the field that should, you know, apparently be listened to, is they know one way to present things and they don't know a good way to communicate any of it. They'll explain it one way, and when you don't understand it, that is your fault. That is your fault as the student for not being able to understand. And, you know, to an extent, a very small extent, granted, but to an extent, I agree with that. I think that if you have cognitive difficulties, and I'm not saying you're retarded, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have cognitive difficulties, if you are slow on the uptake, if you need to see something, do something multiple times or get hands-on, whatever, to learn, that's your responsibility, okay? There's no perfect teachers out there, but if you can't get mad at somebody for a bad YouTube video if you're a hands-on learner and because you can't learn visually. That said, it's not to get those people off the hook. Like, if you are trying to teach, you need to have multiple ways to explain it, and you need to be able to articulate yourself in depth and at length. And there are some, I'll be honest with you, this is to some extent where I struggle. My passion, I've told you guys this a lot, is CQB. Josh's is small unit movement. He loves being out in the woods doing all kinds of, like, stuff, trench warfare type stuff. Him and John both, they really like the footage that's coming out of the conflict in Ukraine, which is unfortunate that it's happening, but if it's there, we should learn from it, right? So, you know, how to be effective in urban warfare settings, not specifically CQB necessarily, but urban warfare, small unit of tactics, the application of drones, things like that, right? And because that's where their passion and their focus and things like that lie, they're able to speak on that and articulate some of those points in depth. In addition to obviously having spent time in the military, where as a member of the infantry, they had to learn that. They had to know those things. They were expected to be effective with a lot of those skill sets. Now, you know, they may be different from what you're seeing with the armed forces or, you know, conflict in Israel or over in Ukraine and Russia, right? But the principles are typically the principles are interchangeable between different methods and different ideas. So you can have those conversations. Those two guys are able to have those discussions at a greater length and a greater depth. For me, yes, I seek out CQB stuff because it's my individual autism that, you know, I want to learn, I want to know. And there's some absolutely just great sources out there that you guys can go learn from, or if you have questions and want to actually talk it out, but you gotta be willing to talk it out. I think confirmation bias is a big part of the problem, but at any rate, it's okay to question people. And I had that conversation with guys like Ninebanger and Jared and Blake. And, you know, as long as you follow those two things that we just threw out there, as long as you know what you're talking about and can articulate it, you present yourself in a professional and respectful way, you'll be all right. Now, I think it's worth mentioning that the person that you're trying to have this conversation with, they may not respond in kind. They may be very disrespectful. They may be very reactionary. And at that point, you can draw the conclusion for yourself that, hey, maybe that's not the best resource. And certainly don't be the guy that goes out of your way to try and poke holes in shit every time you see it. Like, it's the internet. And as somebody who struggles with the amount of screen time that I expose myself to on the regular, sometimes this shit just ain't worth it, y'all. Like, sometimes it's just worth it to turn shit off, put down the phone, close the laptop, get up from the computer desk, and go touch some grass. Go spend some time with your wife. Go play with your dog. Go eat some ice cream, or, you know, any other, you know, number of other things you can do. But find whatever intrigues you, and I would honestly suggest you chase it. That's the model that Special Operations, more or less, kind of pioneered in a way, right? And pursued and really built to an extent that we've seen it be very functional and very capable. And what I mean is you have those different military occupational specialties You have your radio person, you have your weapons sergeant, you have your medical guy, right? You have a sniper. And together, those different elements, those different individuals come together, and they're very effective because while everybody can do a little bit of everything, each person has their own area of expertise, or as we like to call it on the civilian side, our own special flavor of autism. Now, that involves a lot of research, it involves a lot of training, and it involves, unfortunately, admitting that you're wrong at some point. That's the difficult part for a lot of folks. It's I would say probably a little easier on the civilian side because we're always looking for the next thing. And it may be something, let me stop for a second. As that was coming out of my mouth, I was thinking like, oh, that's probably not going to sound great. It may be perceived to be easier on the civilian side because we're constantly changing and constantly searching and constantly learning. That's not to say that that can't be true for our friends that are military or former military, former law enforcement. As we said earlier, a lot of those folks are always looking for new ways, better ways, different ways of understanding and approaching and solving problems and topics and things like that because they're interested in being good educators, or if they're not an educator, they just want to be the most effective and most capable operator that they can be, even if that's in law enforcement versus military. Don't get it twisted. There's degrees and levels to all of this, regardless of the conversation that you're trying to have. And so, you know, the more you know, the more exposure you get to a specific topic and subject, the better off you'll be. And as I say that, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, obviously, the more you know, right? It's a meme. But what I mean when I say that is understanding, even if it is a skill set that you are very passionate about, but it's performed and carried out in a way which you don't agree with, right? So could be anything. Could be radio discipline, which, again, shout out Lindsay Dew. I took her squad comms class this past weekend, and it was fucking outstanding. She does a great job with it. If you guys are looking for a 3-hour class over Zoom, they'll teach you a bunch of information, not just on radios, but on squad functional communications and everything. Like, it was very, very good. For the money, like, you won't find a better deal out there. I guarantee that. But I digress. So you're wanting to build your own depth. You're wanting to find out even ways that you don't agree with it, but you want to understand the way of thinking behind it. Because here's the other part to this. As civilians, in the event that something should go sideways, right? You know, we got this election coming up. A lot of people, not me, but a lot of people seem to think it's going to be end times if certain shit happens during this election. I'm not even going to get into what those certain things are, but we all know, we saw it on the news, we've seen movies, we've seen TV shows, we've seen everything, right, about what could happen, and people lose their minds in times of indecision and tragedy, right? I mean, look at the great battles that were fought over toilet paper during the COVID lockdowns, right? But what I point that out to say that you may run into capable citizens that you don't know, that you don't train with, and they don't subscribe to the same methodologies that you do. But if you are, and this is the idea we're talking about here, is if you are both effective and both capable and you both have a depth of understanding of your skill sets, regardless of what they are, you are able to then be capable together at a base fundamental coordinated level. Are you going to be able to flow, you know, room clearing or moving through a field, everything completely flawlessly, non-verbally, with no hitches and no kinks in the plans? No, you won't. But you'll be able to be effective without stopping and slapping somebody and going, what the fuck are you doing? That's not how we do this shit. But there's a base fundamental understanding there. And the nice part is, as you are this individual who's concerned with these skills, you have this desire, right, to further your own learning and understand all these things and find the next new way or the next better way or seek out more advanced levels within that skill, you can then take that knowledge and you can share it. That's the thing. As civilians, unfortunately, we get a lot of people that present themselves as educators. Excuse me. They present themselves as educators because they've taken a bunch of classes, and therefore that means they're better than you, and they're going to tell you why they're better and how to do the things better. To me, there's a very specific difference, I'll say, right, between being an instructor slash being an educator and being an individual who is just willing to share what you've learned with those people. And to me, an educator, if you are really an educator, you have a vested interest in the success of that individual, which is ironic even as I'm saying it, because most people don't have a vested interest. Their interest is in money, or, you know, sometimes in confirmation bias and self-gratification. However, if you're a well-informed, well-trained civilian who's been doing their research, and not just the research and not just the classes, it's like, for like, when I when I think about this, I think about that three-legged stool that we all had the demonstration on. We were in like elementary school, right? When we went through fire safety and the fire marshal or firefighter or fire chief, whatever, came in, and they had that three-legged stool that the legs all pulled off of, and it was the three different, you know, elements of a fire that, you know, you needed to have a fire burn, right? It was fuel, oxygen, and I think spark. I don't remember. I should remember that. That's actually embarrassing as I say it out loud, but you guys know what I'm talking about. With these things, it's the exact same thing. It's classes, individual research, and then individual practice. Because a class in and of itself is not representative of any amount of training. It's literally an 8-hour day or 3 8-hour days, so 24 hours, right, of training and information, which is very valuable. But I don't know about you guys, there's not too many things that of great complexity that I've ever done where I did it for a handful of hours and just said, okay, yeah, I'm an expert now. Like when I was learning to be a percussionist and as a performer in college and stuff, this is, I've talked about it, but, you know, my early 20s, right? That was my life. From 18 to 22, 23, that was all I wanted to do, was to drum and to be a well-trained percussionist and perform and execute at the very highest level I possibly could. And I did, but I did not practice 24 hours a week. Like, we as an ensemble ended up during the season practicing a minimum of 24 hours a weekend, but then there was probably at least another 10 to 20, well, 20 is optimistic. I would say probably 10 hours of additional practice throughout the week that I was putting in on a regular basis. And then in the off season, basically from April to October or April to November, there was that 10 hours was consistent through that. And that was for 6-7 years. And then even further, as I was a performer for a professional, you know, sports organization. And I say that to point out that, like, there's a lot of time that goes into this, and I didn't always have to have an instructor in front of me calling out what I was doing wrong, pointing these things out. And likewise, I didn't only go to our practices, you know, on the weekend and then waste away in my weeknights until the next weekend and wait to be told what to do again. There is a critical component of self-ownership here that as a civilian, you need to own. You need to be on top of your shit all the time, because yes, you can take 10, 20, 50 classes, and that's a lot of information. But if you're not doing additional research outside of it, you run the danger of being exposed to only incorrect information if you took it from a company that doesn't know what they're doing, which is possible, right? Or you are only exposed to a certain way of doing things because everybody's got their idea, and if you only take classes from a certain company and they only teach their way, obviously, there's a lot else out there that you're missing out on. So if you don't do research and you don't take anybody else's classes, you're not being exposed to other ideas, which could potentially bring to you better opportunities to be successful. And then obviously that third part we talked about was the actual practice time. So to me, if you go take an 8-hour rifle class or 8-hour handgun class, you should take that and at minimum do another 80 hours, whatever time you are in that class, take and multiply that tenfold, right? And spend that time out on the range or in the shoot house or out in the field or with your radio equipment or with your tourniquet and your medical supplies and shit, whatever, like taking the time to work on these skills, to develop them so that you actually have them to call to in the event that you need them. That is where training on the military and on the law enforcement side does have a benefit, because they build that into their day. They build that into their week. They build that into their life. They're required to as part of their job. We have day jobs where we're required to go do other kinds of shit that makes us miserable that we don't typically get a whole lot of benefit from, short of financial, you know, where paying bills is nice because you like to have a house and stuff to go back to, and classes and ammo cost money. Duh, that's obvious. But I want to also point out that as you're learning this and you share this with other people, you have that opportunity. You can be that resource. You can, if given the right folks, I'll put that asterisk on this, you can be the resource that builds a team around yourself. If you have the right kind of people around you, and because that's everyone's number one gripe is, I don't have a team, man. I'm not working in a team. That's I guys say it all the time on the internet because it's some big stupid fucking flex. Oh, back panels on a plate carrier are fucking gay because you're not running in a team. Okay, well, you practice with three homies all the time. Same three homies, same shit all the time, right? You're practicing in a fucking team. Like, get over yourself and calm the fuck down. It's a piece of nylon. It's not that big of a fucking deal. And that leads me into another thing that makes this whole discussion even more annoying, if I'm being completely honest, and I usually am with you guys, is you can humbly share what you know and what you've learned without being a condescending prick asshole. I will tell you that I have had more negative experiences with prior service members wanting to correct me on things, wanting to talk over me, wanting to tell me why I'm wrong for any and every assumption, purely because they had found out that I was not somebody who had served. And it's crazy. Like, I run this podcast, all right? I've been doing this for a little over 4 years. We're not coming up on 4.5. The halfway mark is 2 months out, I think. But so coming up on 4.5 years, I've been doing this. And people think that I have served in the military. I say it like not every episode, but I say it in most episodes. I'm pretty open about it. I'm pretty proud about it. I don't try to misrepresent myself in any way, shape, or fashion. But because of what I talk about and because of, to some degree, the knowledge that I've been able to absorb and accrue from the various generous guests that I've had that are willing to come on and have conversations, people assume that I have experience either in law enforcement or a reservist or something, right? So then when folks find out that I don't have that, right? Nothing has changed. We could have been having a great conversation. Then midstream, boom, they find out I'm not prior service of any variety, right? And then instantly you can see the demeanor change. And then there is like this like emboldened confidence that just suddenly kicks down the door like the fucking Kool-Aid man, where I'm going to overwrite you on everything. I'm going to step all over you because now I know that you don't have my background. You don't have my pedigree, if you will, right? And I know more than you because what? Because you spent 4 years learning how to fold linens and hang out in a barracks and sweat your balls off. Like, let's not make this into something it's not. And that hits home for me because as somebody who has a lot of respect for obviously our armed services and the people who've been out there actually doing the damn things, right? And I've had a ton of very positive experiences. Like, I can't say that enough. The exceptional folks I've had on this podcast are, I mean, A, I owe my success to them and to you guys as the listeners, but those individuals are all more than willing to share their experience and their knowledge. And a lot of times that experience, that knowledge was earned in blood. So it's a very serious thing. Those are never, ever the dudes that are hypercritical assholes. I don't want to say never. They are 99% of the time, they are not the hyper-aggressive, overly critical assholes. It's always the people that haven't done a damn thing that just want to wave their dick around and let you know how great they are, that want to fight you on stuff and talk over you and disregard your opinion because you haven't checked off whatever boxes. And it sucks. It really does suck because if things were to ever happen here, if we were to ever experience that level of lawlessness, I guess. I don't want to say like anarchy, but just where things are weird. Armed citizens, capable citizens, well-trained and well-informed individuals are what those same folks, because they could be our neighbors, right? are going to look to and rely on for success and to be successful. It takes a village, guys. We all have to work together for this. And I think when we start looking at ways to put ourselves over our neighbor rather than find ways to lift up our neighbor, that's how you know things are bad and we have a problem. There's not nearly enough uplifting that goes on in the community when we talk about tactics and talk about training. We talk about gear choices for fuck's sake, I've seen people get into just insane pissing matches over camouflage choices. Like, of all the relatively inconsequential bullshit that you could end a friendship or a potential friendship over, camouflage. Like, I've had guys look at me like, well, you have to buy this color gear because that's what we all run. And I'm like, okay, no. You know, in our training group, we started off with, hey, we all want to run Ranger Green. We all like Ranger Green. It all just so happened that of the three of us that had kit when we got together, it was already Ranger Green. So that was a very convenient choice. Now we're, 2 years later, it's like, oh, well, you have to get multicam kit in case we decide we want to go multicam. And it's like, dude, let's not make this into a thing that it doesn't have to be. Like, I'm not going to buy a whole second kit strictly for color. I'm also not, unless it's a thing where, like, hey, you really need to, like, I can't think of a single thing where anybody with any kind of background would come to me and say, hey, you have to have this or you can't roll with us. Short of, like, maybe a firearm in general, I'd say that you should have a rifle. And it would be great if you also had a handgun with a holster, rifle with a sling, handgun with a holster. Beyond that, I don't know that there's a whole lot I would look at somebody and be like, you can't roll with us, bro. Like, there's some really nice to haves after that, like plates, knowing how to shoot, how to be effective, more importantly, how to be safe with your fucking weapon system. But I'm not going to, in terms of material things, I'm not going to put a qualifier on, hey, man, you don't have enough stuff to come play with us. Like, it's the dumbest shit fucking ever. But people actually get on their high horse, and because they've, made poor financial decisions in their life to get things like full power IR lasers with no white light or, a ballistic helmet, but, no mortgage, shit like that. And these are real things. Like, these dumb decisions happen, and you see guys find ways to justify poor life choices all the time. But I digress. It's just let's bring this back home here. The point of the discussion is that you can be an effective and capable civilian without having had to have served time in the military by any branch, right? Like, and further, just having been in one of those branches of the armed services is not instantly going to make you better and make you effective. It's going to teach you things that as a civilian, you can learn yourself. All of the training material, all of the doctrine is open source, guys. Until you get up to important shit, tier 2, tier 1 elements and operators and shit like that. All that stuff, the Ranger Handbook, open source. There's a million different versions of it, and it's out on Amazon. You can get, Marine manuals, Army manuals. You can get old shit from the 80s if you're one of those guys that's into retro stuff, or maybe you just want to read backwards a bit and understand the development behind why we switched from one set of doctrine and tactics to what we employ today. There's those weirdos out there. Hell, that's a thing. And you can do that if you want to understand it. You just have to understand as well that as a civilian with a job that isn't tied into the armed services, you have to make that time in your life. And I shouldn't even say that. I hate that phrase. I shouldn't say make time. You have to prioritize and manage your time to get you to that same level of efficiency and effectiveness as the person that you expect yourself to be held in a respectable comparison to. So however many range hours is put into, and honestly, you don't always have to do it by hours. If you can effectively shoot at a level which would get you to whatever standard you're trying to reach. So if you are building yourself off of military standards or law enforcement standards, there's the FBI qualifications out there. There's the qualifications packet for different branches of service and everything. I will say there's harder stuff to do out there. Those are specifically built in a lot of instances to not be that difficult, but just to push accountability and actual to be able to produce that actual result. It's all open source information. So yeah, you could probably spend less time to get to that point, but you can also then spend more time to exceed it as a civilian, and you can take it even further. And your limit, like I said earlier, is basically your own passion and interest, and then obviously your wallet and your budget. The stuff is expensive. It is a very big deal. We are talking about understanding, to an extent, unfortunately, right? The liability that goes with discharging a firearm, the serious responsibility that comes with carrying one, the ramifications of having to potentially ever take a life in self-defense, and that's not to say anything, right, of the mental impact, stress, anguish, you know, the mental piece of all of this in the event that you would have to actually take a life. Now, I don't know how to deal with that. I can't even speak to that because I've never been anywhere close to it. Thank God. I'll knock on some wood right now because while a lot of people think that, you know, as armed civilians, as people that want to be a civilian to be prepared, that's what we want to do. Everyone wants to go get their CONUS kill. And most people that aren't assholes and are worth being associated with, that are worth spending time with or time around or talking to and interacting with, most people are terrified of that shit. And I'll be 100% upfront with you, with all of you guys. When people come at me and say, oh, like, this is a true story. I went to a gun shop, found one that had a 43X. This was just, it was right before COVID lockdowns, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it was a year in. It might have been a year in, actually, now I'm thinking about it. So it was January of 21. My wife got a bonus check, and she wanted a 43X. So we went to like 7 different gun shops, couldn't find any. And we finally found one at a place close to our house that I just had never been to. And I went in there, and they had some stuff on the news. Maybe, I don't know what the year was. Maybe it was 2020 now that I'm thinking about it. But at any rate, they were talking about, you know, the election and shit like that on the TV, and talked about the guy behind the counter calling in the reference, the background check, you know, oh, I hope we go to war. And I go, really? I think that'd be pretty rough if we ever had any kind of like civil war or any kind of conflict here in the country. And he goes, nope, because we had a war, then we can kill them all. And I mean, the number of questions, right? Who are they? Why do we want to kill all of them? Like, why are you so adamant about it? Why are you so dry about it? Why do you not have any remorse in your voice when you say it? Like, you're talking about your fellow countrymen. I was like, all right, cool. Let's just like finish this sale and get the fuck out of here. And I never went back. I refused to do business. To probably nobody's surprise, they actually closed up. And the guy moved out of state. You know, I didn't know his background. I didn't care to know his background. That's just the kind of people you don't want to associate with. But that's a little bit aside from the point. Although that kind of attitude, that kind of weird shit, usually I do get that more from people who've spent time in the military. It's a posturing thing. It's a demeanor thing. Again, it's always the ones who haven't really ever done anything that want to act that way. They want to put out that image and that perception. I think it's important to say and to mention in all of this, regardless of which kind of side of the camp you fall into, as a experienced veteran or a veteran with little experience or a civilian that's working really hard to learn things, right, is to not take yourself too seriously. Like, okay, somebody may prove you wrong. So what? Cool. You know what just happened there? You learned something today. You learned that what you were doing was not the best way or was less effective than another way. That doesn't mean you're a shit human being. It just means that you learned something today, and now you have the opportunity to be better for it tomorrow. What does make you an absolute shit human being is if you take that shit personal and you look at it with your ego and not with your mind, and you stick to your way of doing things because it's just too much effort to change what you're fucking doing, and you're going to teach substandard tactics, poor skills, poor execution, bad information, whatever, because your ego just can't fucking handle being told that you're wrong. And this is where more civilians, I will say, this is where more civilians get it wrong than anywhere else. You take input and criticism from an outside resource as a direct attack on your fucking manhood, and you don't ever let your ego get out of the equation and just see that interaction for what it is. I've been through it. Like, I don't love getting negative feedback, you know, either, but guess what? That's how learning happens. At some point, you're going to be told, hey, you did that wrong. And you're like, you know what? I fucking hate hearing that. But do you hate hearing it? Or are you upset with yourself for making the mistake? And there's a difference there, and it's fine. Be upset with yourself. If you hold yourself to a higher standard, great. That's how high achievers achieve greater things, right? Is because they set a higher standard for themselves and they have a greater expectation, a greater demand of themselves at the end of the day, right? Whereas, you know, some people, and all of this, right? This is not specific to any walk of life, to be clear. This applies to prior service, current service, civilians, never served, whatever, you know, old, new, inexperienced, experienced, whatever. You need to take the ego out of it. And this is why when we say you should constantly be searching for new ways, for better ways of doing things, the people that have that growth mindset, that open mindset, and we were talking about this with Randy Turner on our previous episode, our previous discussion on training philosophies, and it's part of what kind of inspired me to have this discussion with you guys this week. You have to have that open-ended mindset, and the real ones, the real people you want to listen to are the ones, they have that. They're looking to be proven wrong. They are. They're looking for guys to come tear up what they're doing and to tell them what's wrong and how to make it better. Now, are they going to push back on it? Yeah, I mean, everything needs to be stress tested. You know, just because I shoot it one way and somebody tells me you should do it different doesn't mean I learned something. It just, I have a responsibility to vet that both ways, right? But if this person, like we talked about earlier, comes at me respectfully and is able to articulate their point and actually prove, hey, you know, what you're doing is not as good, or it has a fundamental flaw that you've missed, or hey, maybe you just don't realize, hey, there's this other strategy, this other method or tactic or piece of kit or whatever that you can use to be just as effective. Like, cool, man. Appreciate you. Thank you for sharing that with me. That's awesome. Let me change up my kit. Let me change up my curriculum if I'm an instructor. Let me change up the way that I've been running my range days or my training with my buddies if I'm, you know, an RTO or something for an agency, or, you know, you're just in a training group with you and your friends as a civilian, and you're usually the one that runs the training sessions or the range days. Like, look for that outside input where you can and take the good shit when you can. It's pretty easy, you know, but for whatever reason, guys let ego and confirmation bias, i.e. I've taken a bunch of classes from this company, their way is what I like because their way is what I know, therefore it is the only way, or purely because I've spent a ton of time taking classes or a ton of time, you know, in whatever, military or law enforcement, that you just have to listen to me. No. We shouldn't do that. That's, to me, that is very, very close to that concept everybody bitches about, the whole, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're going to continue to do it. And everybody pokes holes in that. Everybody bitches about that because, like, duh, that's fucking dumb. Why would you just leave something and not fix it or improve on it or make it better just because you've never made it better before? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. And I know we're kind of getting away from the point here a little bit with this, you guys, but it's something I'm really, really passionate about because especially when I was getting started here with this podcast and having some conversations with people and having interactions outside of, you know, this medium here that you guys are listening to, but out there on the range training, some of it was comment section nonsense or you know, direct message nonsense on the interwebs. Is it because I'm a civilian, I must not know what I'm talking about? Or because I'm a civilian, like, what I know is nice, but we're not going to do that because what I did in the Marines was this, or what I did in the Air Force was this. So what, because I did it in that branch of the military, regardless if it was ever, you know, done in an actual combat application, it's automatically better. And we've talked about this before, you guys. There's about a decades lag time on current tactics and techniques And when they make it, you know, back to your general infantry and basic soldiers or airmen or Marines, whatever, right? Your infantry level troops and grunts. Whereas, and I'm not going to say that civilians always have the most up-to-date and the most current access, but with a lot of these training companies that are trying new things and developing new tactics and things like that, working on developing, constantly developing their curriculum, yes, in a lot of disciplines, yes, as a civilian, you have more access, which is why you see guys that are active duty military taking some of these performance shooting classes, taking some of these CQB classes if they're a law enforcement officer, because the training they receive is not going to be caught up to the quality of the information they're getting at this class for 10 to 15 years, potentially even longer if you're in law enforcement and your agency has a really, really tight budget with some really, really tight buttholes talking holding the purse strings. So I hope that this has been helpful for you guys and that my point is well taken. Again, it's really not to demean anybody or to say in any way that we don't appreciate prior service, but it's to highlight that what we need to look at and what we need to value is the depth of understanding and the content and knowledge that an individual holds within them rather than just what is the patch on their sleeve or the ink on their resume. Because there are some really, really great people that never, performed at those super high levels. And likewise, there's those individuals that made it to the very high levels who turned out to be just complete and total shitbags and really aren't worth spending your money on or learning from and end up just being internet memes or, you know, whatever. So appreciate you guys all for hanging out again. Hope you guys enjoyed the content, enjoyed the message. If you guys have a rebut for me, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. You can shoot me a message on Instagram, whatever. Would love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out and sticking with us. Stay safe out there, everyone. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.